As I mentioned a moment ago, just a reminder, we began looking at 6 days of creation. God created the world in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. And so we took the last 6 days of 2021 and we put together a plan, okay? A 2022 spiritual growth challenge is what I have called it. It is creating a personal spiritual growth plan. What are some things, and there's six different areas of our spiritual lives that I've chosen to focus on. And so the idea is you to look at the Bible, to focus on those, and come up with your own personal spiritual growth plan concerning each of those areas. And what we've been doing since then is each Sunday we've been looking at one of those particular areas of the growth that we're talking about. So today we're talking about giving. Okay? So that's part of what needs to be an important part of our spiritual growth plan. Do we really think a whole lot about our giving and what that means? Listen to me, for our salvation. A lot of people don't realize giving is as much a salvation issue as being baptized, your faith, and everything else, because it's something that God has commanded us to do. Amen. So what I'm doing in these lessons is I'm sharing with you some things that I put together for my personal spiritual growth plan, and just sharing some of those ideas with you. Maybe perhaps helping you to tweak yours a little bit if you've already done it, and just to encourage us all in growing spiritually in 2022. So let's talk about giving this morning. We begin talking about heart matters. Okay? There are some certain things in life that really are matters of the heart. Okay? Things like these, like Valentine's Day, we just recently celebrated that. That's a matter of the heart, right? Okay, there's those dates, you know, we find that special person, we go out on dates with them, that's a matter of the heart, okay? And certainly engagement, you decide this is the one for me. Some of you are looking and going, yeah, I remember that, right? That's a matter of the heart. All right, and then certainly the marriage itself. All of those kinds of things are things that we typically attribute with matters of the heart. Those ideas, those feelings, the emotions, all of that typically, okay, comes from the heart, doesn't it? Okay, and that's where we celebrate all of those kinds of things because they are matters of the heart. Well, what we need to understand is that giving is also a matter of the heart. Okay? It really is, and it really does matter where your heart is when it comes to giving. Because if your heart is not in the right place concerning giving, then your giving is not acceptable to God. Okay? So we need to be, and we're focusing this morning on giving from the heart. All right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Okay, so it is what we have decided in our heart to give. So therefore, it is a decision of the heart. Notice that he says that we have decided. Well, think about this a moment, okay? Having decided implies that it's something we have done before the giving takes place. Okay? So in other words, what God wants from us is for us to think about this. Okay? He wants us to think about our giving. He wants us to think about it and allow our heart to be the thing that is helping us to decide what we are going to give. So it is something that we decide ahead of time, and we do it in our heart. And notice that he says, that's what produces then a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us giving reluctantly or under compulsion, feeling like you've got to give. Okay? That we're doing it cheerfully. And when we are doing it from the heart, we decide ahead of time, and we do it from the heart, then that's what produces the cheer or the cheerfulness in our giving. And that's what God wants from us. You see? He wants us to give as he has given to us. But he wants us to give it with the right heart. Okay? The text that I read as we began this morning, the story of the widow's mite or the widow's offering, Mark chapter 12. Let's look at it again. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, notice the contrast here. When Jesus says to his disciples, they all gave out of their wealth, basically what he's really saying here is that they gave out of their abundance. In other words, they weren't really going to miss what they gave. They had so much. They gave lots, dollar-wise. But from God's perspective, this poor widow who gave just a few copper coins, just worth a few pennies, he says, she gave more than all of them. And if we're looking at it monetarily wise, we go, well, how can that possibly be? She only gave a couple of cents. They gave a lot of money. Yeah, but from God's perspective, they didn't give hardly anything at all. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they weren't giving it from their heart. They gave their extra. They wouldn't miss it. There was no sacrifice. There was nothing that really touched them about giving. Yet this woman gave everything she had. You know what that requires? It's called trust. You see, the huge difference between those who were giving out of their wealth and the poor widow is that they were trusting in their wealth to take care of them. And this woman was totally and completely trusting in God. Amen. Therefore, it allowed her to give everything. Mm-hmm. See? So heart indeed matters when it comes to our giving. Okay? It really is a matter of the heart. And how much do we trust God to take care of us? All right? Secondly, another thing I considered when I was looking at, you know, this part of my life, all right, is looking at motivation, okay? And so I want to look for a moment at God's motivation for giving. Have you ever thought about it that way? What is it that motivates God to give to us? See, I never really thought a lot about that. Okay, let's talk about motive. You know what motive is, don't you? Okay, motive is by definition something that causes a person to act. Okay, so we talk about, and the illustration here is, you know, how do you get the donkey to move? Okay, it's the old carrot on a stick approach. Hang a carrot out in front of him and he'll walk trying to get the carrot. That's motivation. Well, what causes, just for example, what causes or motivates people to do various crimes? Okay, we understand that concept. We talk about, you know, the crime shows and the court shows. What was their motive for doing this? Well, for murder, it'd be a lot of things, like anger, could be hatred, could be revenge. Now, those are things that motivate people to commit that crime of murder. Or how about robbery? What motivates people for that? Well, sometimes it's hunger. Okay, sometimes people are hungry, and so they steal food or steal money to be able to get food. But sometimes the motivation is just plain old greed. But the idea here is to understand what motivates people to do the things that they do. Excuse me. What motivates God to give to us? And secondly, what motivates us then to give to God? What motivates God then? Let's look at that question. To bless our lives. Why does He do that? Okay? Just think about that a moment. Let that thought sink in for a moment. Why does God do that? And I think the typical response is, well, what? Because He loves us, right? Well, there's much more to it than that, you say. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, that, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but that is a promise that God is making. Okay? That He is going to increase the supply of our store of seed. In other words, what we need to take care of us. All right? He goes on to say in verses 11 and 12, and look at this. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That sounds a little bit different than just simply God gives to us because He loves us, doesn't it? You see? He says, you will be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service, and that's what he calls it, this service of giving to other people. All right? This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So, do you get what's happening here? God doesn't just bless our lives because He loves us. He blesses our lives because He loves everybody, and He wants us to take the blessings He gives us and be generous with them to other people. So that ultimately, there's a whole bunch of thankfulness that is being offered up to God for those blessings. You see? So again, He doesn't just bless us because He loves us and He wants to be nice to us. He blesses us because He wants us to take those blessings and in turn bless other people's lives with them. Think about it this way. Have you ever been blessed by someone else who has given to you? Whether it's financially, directly, or in some other way that has blessed your life. Raise your hand if you have. Okay? There's a couple of you in here who are either dishonest or you're very unfortunate. Okay? Because that's how God works. Okay? He uses us to bless one another's lives. Okay? And that's why He blesses us. So that we in turn will bless one another's lives. Okay? So, God blesses us so we can bless others. He does not intend for us to take everything that He gives to us and keep it for ourselves. That is never God's intention. Okay? God is generous to us so that we will be generous to others. All right? In verse chapter 9 and verse 6, we go back a couple of verses here. Remember, this is what he says. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You see, that's part of the laws of sowing and reaping. But we sow generosity. We reap generosity. I mean, that's really the idea behind it. God gives to us so that we will give to those who are in need. And when we do that, we reap a reward in turn. Okay? So, here's a question for you. When it comes to your giving, and I had to look at this myself and doing this part of my study and making my plans, I had to go back and really reevaluate what motivates me when it comes to my giving. Because I'll be honest with you, there's so many times, you know, I generally, unless there's something special that God has blessed us with, and by the way, He's done that lots of times, okay, that we increase our giving proportionally, but generally speaking, I write a check for the same contribution every week. And let's be honest, isn't it easy to just kind of get into, you know, write a check, put it in the basket, write a check, put it in the basket, write a check, put it in the basket, without really giving it a whole lot of thought. And I know for myself, when I was doing this part of my study, that was something that really kind of hit me between the eyes. It's like, Russ, what are you doing here? You know? Yeah, you're putting in lots of money, but you're not even thinking about it. So I realized that, at least in some parts, I was missing some of the heart part. You see? My motivation was to make sure that I gave what I was supposed to give. So I'm asking you to think about what motivates you, okay, when it comes to giving. Let me illustrate it to you this way, okay? And here's the concern that I want to share with you. You know, today, if you go to the movie theater, all right, then one of the things they really want you to do and encourage you to do is to buy your tickets online beforehand, right? Y'all doing that? Okay, those of you who go to the movie theater. Okay, so buy your tickets online. And that, not just theaters, but a lot of places are wanting you to do that. Buy your tickets ahead of time. Well, I don't like to do that because my plans might change. Okay, I may be wanting to go to a particular place, and if I buy the tickets ahead of time and my plans change, I don't make it, then I've wasted that money. So I'm kind of old-fashioned. I still like to go up there and, you know, I want a ticket for this. At the counter. Pass them my card. You know, let's do this face-to-face. I don't like that online stuff. All right? But I wonder sometimes, do we have this kind of mentality when it comes to our giving? That what we're doing when we're giving, in a sense, is kind of like buying an admission ticket to get in to church. And that's what our contribution is. It's the payment for an admission ticket to get into worship. Which means then, what? If I don't go to worship because I'm sick or I'm traveling or I got a little cough or whatever the case, are you hearing me? I'm stepping on some toes here, and brethren, I'm not apologizing because I think this is a problem. If we look at our contribution as an admission ticket, then when I don't go, I don't have to, help me out, pay. I don't have to buy a ticket because my plans changed. See? You need to understand. Throughout all of the scriptures where It talks about giving, even in the Old Testament, okay? The sacrifices that were required to be given on behalf of the Israelite people, there was no admission fee attached to that. No concept of if you don't come, you don't have to pay. Giving, as we've said, is something that comes from the heart. You say? And if we're not able to come to worship on a particular time, then we need to make that contribution up. Tom over here, sometimes, you know, he's over here going, I got to pay these bills, and, you know, the balance is getting less and less. And folks, I'm just telling you, and the elders, we've talked about this. You know, we sent out a letter several weeks ago just to tell you what the condition, the situation of the congregation is. And part of it is because we got people that I think are feeling like, because I'm not there, I don't have to come. You go on vacation for the summer, you know, a couple of weeks in the summertime, and, you know, come back and, oh, now I give, but I didn't while I was gone. Why? Because I wasn't here. Well, what people need to understand is that God's church still needs to operate and function with all the things that need to go on, whether you come or not on any particular Sunday. You say, amen. And we can't go to the power company and say, hey, we'd like to be able to pay this bill, but we're a church, so, you know, would you just let us slide on it? It doesn't work that way. We live in a monetary world, and we have to pay bills. We have to pay for the things that we use and do and so forth. Amen. And so I'm challenging you. And again, keep in mind, I looked at my heart myself in this whole thing too. So I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. That we really need to go back to the matter, the heart of the matter, and ask ourselves, what's motivating me to give to the Lord? Okay. Let's talk about what I'm calling a pressing issue. Okay? In Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This particular text that we so often quote when it comes to issues of giving, okay? Where Jesus says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, here's a question for you to think about. Do you have any idea what the context of that statement really is? Okay? Again, we most of the time quote it when it comes to giving. But that statement is written in the context of judgment and mercy. Okay? If you go back to verse 37, this is what Jesus says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Okay? So that's the context that we find verse 38 in. Okay? So we need to be very careful about passing judgment on other people. And we need to be very quick to forgive. Because what he's saying here is, again, the measure that you use, that will be measured to you. Okay? Now, whatever measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, am I saying that that text doesn't have anything to do with giving? No. I think the principle is there for all kinds of things in life, a lot of areas in life. Okay? Not just judgment and mercy and forgiveness, but all kinds of areas of our lives. We need to make sure that we're considering the measure that we use concerning those things. Let's look at this verse again. Look at what the promise is. Okay, and again, mercy, you give forgiveness, okay, you give whatever it is you're giving, service, okay, you give and it will be given to you. How much? Well, first of all, a good measure. And not only a good measure, but a measure that is pressed down, okay, packed in other words. And one that is shaken together. right? Shake that bag, get all that loose stuff falling together where it packs in really good. And then running over. See? Now, you know, most of you folks know how much I like to cook, okay? And I like to follow a recipe, but there are some things that when I'm measuring stuff out, okay, I put the measuring scoop in there and I measure it out and it says, you know, a half a cup, and so I put it and I scrape off the top, you know, of the flour or whatever to make it an even across there. Charlotte's over here giving me this eye. She knows what I'm about to say. When it comes to the sugar, the brown sugar or whatever, those sweet things that go in the recipe, I don't scrape it off. I'm just being honest, okay? I like a little bit of that extra sweetness in there. But here's what his point here is. You think about that measuring cup, it's not scraped off, so you only get this amount. He says it's running over. You pour that milk or that cream into the bowl, and it's not just to the line, but it's more. It's filled up to capacity and running over the sides. Okay? And he says that all of those things, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Now, for some of you might go, well, what do I want all that mess all over me for? Okay, well, they would have understood it in that day. Is what they would do is they would take their rope. You know, they had the long foam rope. They'd take their rope and pull it up and tuck it in their belt, and it would make a pocket because they didn't have these things on their clothes that we have today. So they would fill that pocket, so to speak, with the grain or whatever it is they were doing. And the idea is that it would be filled to overflowing. If you give, it will be given to you. You say, it will be given to you. And not just given back, but more than what you have given. For with the measure you use, he says, it will be measured to you. So there are some things about giving that when I was working on my, you know, plan, my spiritual growth plan, I had to do some real serious praying and thinking about that. And I share those things with you to challenge you when it comes to giving. Here are some important, serious things that we need to think about. All right? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we use this as an opportunity for anyone to come and let us know if you have something on your heart or mind, you have a need that we can help fulfill. If you have a prayer request you'd like for us to bring before the Lord, it's a great opportunity to do any of those things. And for anyone who is here that is not yet a Christian, if you're ready to make that commitment, you're ready to give your life to Christ, then it's a great opportunity to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's anyone there who has a prayer request, you can text either Wesley or myself while we're singing this invitation song. Phone numbers will be on the bottom of the screen. And you can let us know. We will address your concern, your prayer request, or whatever it might be. And if there's someone who's not yet a Christian and would like to become one, all you got to do is let us know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. Just contact us and let us know that's what you're ready to do. It's a great opportunity for anyone. So we offer this invitation. Let's stand.